Sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome to our service of worship here at First Presbyterian Fond du Lac on this wonderful, wonderful Sunday morning. Fall has come, hasn't it? Fall has come, and we are like that, don't we? Yes, this is the day the Lord has made, and by golly, we're going to rejoice in it, like it or not. I hope you were paying attention to all of the wonderful announcements that were passing by on the screen. I just have a couple of things I want to bring up. I want to thank everyone who came to the service of Witness to the Resurrection, the funeral service for Peter Ragland yesterday, especially the members of the session who were able to be there. We appreciate that sign of the body of Christ, that interconnectedness that is part of our Presbyterian, our Reformed understanding of the body of Christ. So thank you for that. I want to, especially thinking of connectionalism, encourage you to come to the Growing Connections. That's the adult faith formation today after the fellowship time in the fellowship hall. Jennifer and I are going to be doing a lesson, if you will, on the development of communion and then the experience of it. So we will not be serving communion, but I'm going to talk about the development of the doctrine. And I've got to say, I was going over my notes last night and was getting just really excited, just sitting there all by myself in the chair, thinking about this. So I hope that you will come and be a part of it, and then how Jennifer is going to help us connect bodily and with our senses to what happens in communion. PYA is going bowling this afternoon. I was invited and have graciously RSVP'd to Jennifer. I think it's only fair that the youth get to see how badly uncoordinated I am. But I am looking forward to that. I hope a number of youth will be there. Bingo and cribbage, and the 50-year members being recognized, not today, but next Sunday. And it was good to see so many of you bringing in Coach for Kids this morning. It looks like that box is all of a sudden filling up now that fall is definitely here. Those of you who need help in your yard, looks like Spin is going to be taking a spin at that, if you will. On the kiosk in the narthex, you know, we've had these sticker exercises two Sundays, last Sunday and a Sunday a couple of weeks ago. We did this whole big exercise of walking around the room and placing stickers during the worship service in the fellowship hall. The results of that are posted on the kiosk. They have been in the Wednesday updates. If you're not getting the Wednesday updates, you need to email or call the church office and tell them you want that. But if you want to take another gander at them, they are very much enlarged. They are on the kiosk outside. And also, I would encourage you to look at the back page of the bulletin, especially you who are in leadership positions in our fellowship on volunteerism. We've been talking about, well, how do we get people to volunteer? Well, here are some steps that we can take. Are they infallible? No. Are they magic? No. Are they a good first step? Yes, they absolutely are. I'm going to recognize Sue Baker to come up and thrill us with something, but have I missed any announcements other than Sue? Then after Sue, we will prepare our hearts and minds for worship with the ringing of the bells and the entrance of the light of Christ.
Good morning. I'm on the serving team, and Chris had made an announcement last Sunday regarding the alternative gift fair and when we're going to be meeting. And so I'm just here this morning to remind you again that on the 23rd of October, the serving team, we're going to be having a planning meeting. So it's just not the serving team who decides the organizations. It's all of us. So if you want to meet with us, we will be meeting after worship at about 10:15 in the parlor, which is right across from the office. And we're just going to brainstorm on what organizations we want to serve this year. So if you have any questions, just let me or Debbie Cooley know. Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. We lift up our eyes to the hills. From where will our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In praise and with thanksgiving, we gather as one body with song and with prayer. The Lord will keep our going out and our coming in from this time and forevermore. Come, let us worship our God. Ever present, always with us, God, we pause to thank you for the constant love that holds us up and keeps us together. We know we could not function as individuals or as a church without you beside us, before us, behind us, and in us. Fill our mouths with sweet sounds. Fill our hearts with sweet love. Fill our minds with sweet knowledge of how we should live. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Troubles and distress enslave me. Day and night I seek your face, yearning for your light and grace. But these eyes that cannot see you, outstretched arms that cannot feel you, my heart breaks in deep despair. My soul longs to hold you here. You, oh God, once walked beside me. In the night your songs revived me. Were your promises in vain, will you smile on me again? Long ago you brought redemption.
The living word of God, Jesus Christ, leads the way to salvation through faith. In turning to the Lord with humility and trusting in his love, we confess our sin and the sins of the world. Maybe we have been too busy to notice deeds that are beautiful and good, or too preoccupied to say thank you or I love you. Lord, have mercy. Maybe we have been too stubborn to apologize for our mistakes, too proud to do inconspicuous tasks, or too independent to let others help us. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Maybe we have been too self-demanding to enjoy a task well done, though not perfectly, or too proudly humble to gracefully accept thanks from a colleague. Lord, have mercy.
Lord,
have mercy. Merciful God, Savior and friend, forgive us for our obsessive busyness, for our pride, and for our overdone humility. Forgive us for hurts we have inflicted on others, and for the love we have denied them and ourselves. By the grace of Christ Jesus, restore us to the joy of salvation. In his name we pray.
Whoever we are, wherever we are, however we are, we belong to God. Through Jesus Christ, God cleanses us from all unrighteousness and leads us from sin. People of God, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. Now that we are at peace with God, let us be at peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please take a moment to wish God's peace to those around you?
And the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Amen.
The Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Newell, limping because of his hip.
The epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teachings, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God, may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim this message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching, for time is coming when people will not put up sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, and do the work as an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully.
Thank you, brothers. I appreciate that. Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I know this will be a familiar story to many of you. Listen now for the word of God. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. And I invite you to stand as you are able, please.
Feel afraid and I think I've
And I believe Miss Jennifer has something wonderful for the youngest of our disciples. So please come up.
So I'd like to invite everybody to come forward, and let's sit up here on the front right here by me. You have a tiger today, Lincoln? That's awesome. So come up, Fiona. You can sit right next to me. That's fine, too. Yeah. All right. Well, and first we have lots to do up here today. It's going to be a busy day. Well, I have today a special Bible, and I only have one up here with me at this moment, but I have one for you, Lincoln, and I have one for you, Fiona, too. So what's special about this Bible is, guess what? Are there any pictures in this Bible? Can you look at this Bible for me? Are there any pictures in this Bible, Fiona? Have you looked inside here? There's a lot of words.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of words. And so what we have here is some of the stories from this Bible. This big Bible here. You can see it's up there. You're right. It is on the TV up there. And it's right here too. It's right back there too. And inside here are some pretty nice pictures. And guess what? Now that you're going to school, you're starting to learn some words. Fiona, do you know some words already, too? You have water school, and you're learning some words, aren't you? You are. And as you learn some words, you're going to be able to read these stories all by yourself. Maybe right now someone else can read it to you, but as you start to learn more, you are five. You're going to be able to learn and read these stories to yourself. Or maybe you could read them to your puppy at home or your kitty, right? You could read it to your kitty. You could. And there's something else about these stories. In each story, it tells you where in the big Bible here you can find that story. So if you have questions about it and you talk about it with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, you can look up in the big Bible where that story comes from, too. That is, it's an ark. You're right. And there's also some questions in there. There's always a question on the last page of each story that helps you talk about that story with mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or your brother or sister. Yeah. So today is a super special day, and we have a Bible for Fiona, and we have one for you, too, Lincoln. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you in just a second, okay? So before we do that, let's say a little prayer so we can think about and help us remember our Bibles and why we have them, okay? All right, let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the enthusiasm to learn more about you and more about your word. We thank you for the stories in these pages and for the wisdom that we can cherish in our hearts. We pray that your spirit will be with us and guide these children and their families as they grow in relationship with you and with your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, now we have another job, and this job is a big job that I'm going to have you help me out, and actually everyone here we're going to have help out. Do you see the picture up there? There's the picture up there of the grandma on the TV. Yeah, there is. And her name was Ann Leesma, and she was a kindergarten teacher. She taught boys and girls that were 5 years old. And 6 years, yeah, like you. Yeah, she did. And she loved to share God's love. She would grow vegetables in her garden and share them with people. She would grow flowers and share them with people. That's right. And so did Anne. She grew tomatoes too, and she shared them. And she loved to share this storybook. You see this storybook here? And what was special about this storybook she shared It says, my little golden book about God. And I have one that Anne wrote inside. And here's what she wrote. She wrote Anne's cousin right next to the author's name because Anne's cousin wrote this book. Her name was Jane Warner Watson, and she wrote the book. And Anne was very proud of her. And then she wrote in here, God's blessing from Anne and Arnold Liesma. And she would take this book and she would give it to people she knew. And she'd give it to people she didn't know. And she'd tell them that God loves them. And she'd tell them that this story of God's love is in here. And she wanted them to know how much God loved them. And then she would ask them to read the story, to know that God loves them, and to share it with other people. And tell other people that God loves them. Well, some of Anne's friends, after Anne has passed away, some of Anne's friends said, we would like to remember Anne in a special way. And they thought this would be the perfect way to remember her because she loved to read stories to children and she loved to share God's love. And so I have a basket full of this book. And yeah, isn't that cool? There's lots of them. So what we need to do is I need you to take one of these books today. And I'm gonna ask that all of the grown-ups can take books today too. And I want you to take that book. Yeah. And I'm gonna have you take this book and I'm gonna have you share it with someone. And I want you to tell someone about God's love and how much God loves them. Okay, that's great. You tell Danny. And then we want to make sure that they share God's love with someone else too. Can you do that for me? All right. So I'm going to put, it's making some wind. It is a little warm in the light, isn't it? We're going to put that book, we're going to put this basket of books back there. And I want you to make sure you take a book and share a book and share God's love with someone. All right. And we can remember Miss Anne when we do that. So let's pray. You did see me last Sunday, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Are you ready? Let's pray for these books and the people we're going to give them to. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of your love that you give us each and every day. We thank you for the gift that Anne was to all of us in sharing your love with each and every one of us. And to all the people she didn't even know, she shared God's love as well. We ask that you would help us to remember her and to be like her in sharing your love to others. We ask that the people that receive these books learn more about you and about your love and feel that love in their hearts and that they will be able to share it with others. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I hope all of you will indeed share those books. I know some of you probably have grandchildren who need Christmas presents who might be about that age. What a wonderful blessing that is. Our Old Testament lesson sort of picked up in the middle of a grand saga. So let me just sort of bring us up to speed. Let's remember where we are in the story. Genesis chapter 12, we start with Abraham. Abraham has children by two women, by Hagar, who is his wife Sarah's maid, and also by Sarah. Hagar's son is Ishmael, who becomes the grand old man, the father of the Ishmaelites. Hagar's son, Sarah's son, is Isaac. Isaac marries Rebekah, okay? And then Rebekah has two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau is born a couple of minutes first, so he's the eldest son. But Jacob tricks him out of his birthright, out of his father's blessing. And Esau is furious about this and is murderous towards Jacob. So Jacob flees then far away to his uncle Laban, way over in the eastern part of the Fertile Crescent. And Jacob then has two wives, Leah and Rachel, and he also has children by their maids, Zilpah and Bilhah. There's something funny in the family here about maids, isn't there? I would not want to be a maid to one of their wives. These four, though, Leah, Zilpah, Rachel, and Bilhah, bear the 12 sons who become the leaders, the firstborn of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why they are so important. It gets a little crazy around there with Joseph and the half tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, but don't worry about them. There's 12 altogether. There is an important woman who is missing from this chart. Dinah. Dinah, who is the daughter of Leah. Go on a couple of chapters past our passage today. There's some interesting, really very bloodthirsty information about Dinah and her brothers. But Jacob serves under his uncle Laban for many, many years. He has all these children. He's ready to leave Laban, but Jacob is a trickster. He cannot do anything simply or easily. He has to muff it up somehow or other. He makes Laban furious at him. So furious, in fact, that Laban goes out in hot pursuit of Jacob and his family. Jacob, the four women, and at this time there are 11. Benjamin is not born until sometime after the events in our story today. So that's where Jacob is. Jacob is on the run from his uncle Laban, heading back towards Israel. But now he has heard that his brother Esau, remember, it's like a soap opera. He's got his brother Esau that he left behind all those years ago, whom he tricked out of his birthright. Esau is coming to meet him. And oh my goodness, Jacob the trickster is between a rock and a hard place. Laban in one direction, Esau in the other. And he is afraid that Esau has murder on his heart. The night before he is to meet Esau, he spends the night by the banks of the Jabbok River. And during the night, he has a wrestling match. He spends the night wrestling. And it's an all-night confrontation. And it's difficult. You know, Jacob gets his hip put out of joint. We read that. But Jacob persists. And in the end, he wins. He wins a blessing. And Jacob's blessing is a new name. Now remember, ancient Near East at this time, names had power. And to know someone's name is to have an idea about their power. And so Jacob's new name means that he not only has new power, but new prestige. He is no longer Jacob, Yaakov, the trickster. He is now Israel, Yisrael. He is the man who strives with God and prevails. And so the next morning, Jacob gets up and he crosses the Jabbok River to go and meet Esau. And he limps, but he is confident, because he is the one who has wrestled with God and prevailed. Now, I'm sure this story is familiar to many of you. And there are many ways to think about it and many lessons that we can draw. And probably the most popular is the admonition to go out and wrestle with God. Wrestle with God. Don't be afraid. Wrestle with God. It may hurt. You may get a limp, but you will get a blessing. And it's a good message. But come on. You want me to wrestle with God? Get real. Who wants a God you have to wrestle? Do I have to wrestle with God and maybe get hurt to be blessed? I thought God loved me. I thought God wants to rain blessings down on me. I got to wrestle with God? I don't know about you, but this is making me uncomfortable. Yeah. So let's move on, shall we? Let's look at our Luke story. Our story from Luke. And this is a good story. This is a story we can all get behind. A poor widow. Remember, at this time, widows had very little in the way of legal rights. A poor widow wants justice against her accuser. And she goes to the judge, but the judge ignores her. Nevertheless, the widow is persistent. She will not give up. And finally, the judge gives in. I fear neither God nor man, but this widow is wearing me out. I don't really care, but I am going to give her justice so she will get off my back. Again, it's a good story. And there's a lot we can draw from it. And probably the most common approach is to concentrate on Jesus' last line. God will grant justice quickly. God will bring justice quickly. God will bless God's people. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us presents by the armload. That, I think, we can get behind, right? But which one of them is right? Which one is it? Is it wrestling? I didn't mean to do that. I wasn't trying to do that. This is really annoying. Back up to the wrestling, would you? Yeah. Is it wrestling? Is that what we need to do with God? Or will God bring me forward one? Does God want to give us, you know what, I'm going to put this down. This is annoying. Does God want to give us blessings with open arms? Do we have to stay up all night wrestling with God, or will God bless us like water from heaven? What do you think? I don't know about you, but just thinking about it makes me uncomfortable. Let's move on, shall we? Let's look at our epistle lesson that we heard read. That's a good lesson. Paul is writing to his young friend, Timothy. And Timothy seems to be in kind of a bad way. Timothy needs some encouragement. Timothy needs somebody to buck him up. He needs a shot of courage. And so, back that up. Why, I tell you what, technology is not our friend this morning. Ignore the man behind the curtain. Pretend you didn't see that last slide. Timothy needs help. And so Paul writes to him, inspired by God. Paul writes to him and says, remember what you were taught. Remember what you believe so firmly. And then proclaim the good news. Be persistent. In good times and bad, when people listen, and when they don't, in season and out of season, proclaim the good news of how much God loves us. Share this good news constantly. When people will listen to you and when they won't. When it is a propitious time and when it is a bad time, persistently proclaim the good news of God. Stay connected and proclaim the good news of God. And this is a good message. This is a good message to Timothy, and it's a good message to us as individuals, isn't it? That we as individuals need to proclaim the message of how much God loves us in Jesus Christ. And Paul's message to Timothy and Paul's message to us as individuals is also Paul's message to the church, isn't it? This is the mission of the church in good times and bad times. To proclaim how much God loves us. In good times and bad times, in season and out of season, whether the time is right or the time is wrong, proclaim the good news of how much God loves us. This is what we as the church do. The next one, please. Some of you will be familiar with this. This is a Britishism. It's, you know, sort of like the motto of Britain, right? Keep calm and carry on. When things are bad, when things are tough, what do? We keep calm and carry on. Certainly better than having a meltdown. Keep calm and carry on. That's what they say. And this is the message to us. Even when society changes, the mission has not changed. Keep calm. And carry on proclaiming the good news. Because that bit about itchy ears, all right, that bit that we heard read, that people will get itchy ears and they will grow bored with the good news, with the truth, and they will long to hear something different. I tell you, friends, that time is now. That time has come and is now. America, as a country, is becoming less and less Christian. America, as a country, as a society, is becoming more and more secular. And this is not just me saying this anecdotally. This is what all the research institutes say. This is a multi-generational, grand social trend that you and I are not going to change. And I know that's hard. I know that's difficult. And I'm going to be speaking more about that a couple of weeks from now. I'm going to go into more detail. But right now, just understand that that time has come that Paul was talking about. When people want to hear something different. But you know what? That doesn't change us. That doesn't change us. Our mission is to stay connected and proclaim the good news of God. So which is it then? Is it the wrestling or the giving? Is God someone we have to wrestle, or does God give us blessings by the armload? Do we have to wrestle with God and get hurt? Or does God's blessings come to us like rain from the sky? Personally, I think it's both. Yes. This is the nature of relationships. Anyone who's ever been in a relationship, you know this. There are times when you really have to wrestle with it. And there are times when the blessings of that relationship just come like rain from the sky. The trick is to stay connected. The trick is to stay connected, to be as in relationship with God, to be as close to God as two wrestlers in a wrestling match. to be as persistent with God as a widow seeking justice. To be that tight with God and to keep on keeping on proclaiming the good news of God. Because this is what we do as individuals and as a church, in good times and in bad, in season and out of season, in spring and in winter. This is what we do. We keep calm and carry on proclaiming in Jesus Christ how much God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you join me, please, in a time of prayer? Our gracious Lord God, we thank you for bringing us together today in this time of change, as the leaves turn and the days grow shorter and the nights grow longer. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not changed in it. That yes, the world changes as frequently as the weather, it seems, but you do not change. And our mission, our ministry, does not change. We are to share with the world how much you love us. And so help us, Lord, share with the world. Help us share with the people in Florida, who many have lost so much. Let us share the good news of your love with the people who are at war within their own country or with other countries. Let us share the good news of the Prince of Peace with people who are uncertain where their next meal will come from. Let us share the good news of the one who said, "This is my body that is broken for you." With those who fear loss, with those who grieve, with those who approach their impending death with fear and anxiety, let us share the good news of the one who said, "Stand up." The one who raised others from the dead, the one who was raised by God and now lives at God's right hand. Gracious Lord, we bring you the concerns of our own fellowship. We ask that you will be with Pete's family, and that you will watch over Pauline and Arnold and Gibb. We pray that Pat and Gary and Brian will know that they are never alone. We ask your blessing on Jolene, her sister, and her husband, on Chastity and Joan and Jerry and Mary. We ask, Lord, that they will feel your peace and your healing grace. And we ask that Liam and Silas, that Jesse and Ruth will know that you are as close to them as the breath in their lungs. And Lord, now we lift to you the concerns of our own hearts, and we listen, Lord, for your response. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Gracious God, we know that when we face you, we do not have to fight. But we know that it is important to face the struggles of faith. We know that when we face you, blessings come to us freely. But we know it is important to never cheapen them by taking them for granted. Lord, when we face you, We are brought face to face with Jesus, our Savior, who lived and died and rose again that we may have the new life that others can only long for. Even those with the itchy ears who have turned away after new truths, alternative truths. We pray that we will live as Jesus taught us to live and speak as Jesus teaches us to speak, that they may turn back to your way. We ask this indeed in Christ's holy name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we receive our offering, I ask you to just think about something for a minute. Think about the last time you opened your credit card bill, or the last time you got your bank statement for your checking account, and what were all the charges to? Because you know, what we spend money on is what we care about. What we spend money on is what we care about. And where does God fall in that list of things for which we care? Let us receive our tithes and our offerings. Join me, please, in our offertory prayer. Like your words, O God, the tangible gifts with which we are blessed are not to be hoarded or hidden away for rainy days. Rather, we offer them so they might bring healing, hope, grace, and peace to all around us, your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sends us forth with hands to serve and
to share how much God loves us. And so we solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and of his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. Always be sober. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. And friends, as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God look at you with grace and grant you God's own peace this day and evermore. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen.
And we're going to sing Shalom. This side follow me, that side follow Nancy, please.
Shalom.